We're going to turn together again to the three little portions that we've been reading over the last two Lord's days. First of all, Genesis chapter 5, then Hebrews chapter 11, and then the little epistle of Jude, which of course is just one chapter. And Jude comes just before the last book of the Bible, the book of the Revelation. So first of all, Genesis 5, then Hebrews 11, and then the little epistle of Jude. We're coming again to look at Enoch, the man and his God. And in the will of the Lord, we'll be finishing our short study, just three Sundays, drawing lessons from the life of Enoch. And we have been reading these three little portions, just a few verses from the Word of God. The Bible doesn't have much to say about Enoch, and everything that the Bible does say is found in these three portions, these three texts of God's Word. First of all, Genesis 5, reading from verse number 21. Genesis 5, verse 21. And Enoch lived 60 and 5 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years. And begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Hebrews chapter 11 then, verse number 5. Great chapter in the subject of faith. Some people call it Faith's Hall of Fame. That's a good title for Hebrews 11. Wonderful lessons for us. And it tells us in Hebrews 11, verse number 5, by faith Enoch was translated, that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony, that he pleased God. Then lastly, the little epistle of Jude, just before Revelation. Just one chapter in this epistle, and we'll read from verse 14. Jude, verse 14. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. We'll end our reading there at just verse 15, and we know that the Lord will bless this public reading of his own infallible word to all of our hearts for his own namesake. Now, can we just still our hearts for a few moments in God's presence? Let's ask God to bless our gathering, our coming together. Let's seek the Lord, please. Loving God and everlasting Father, we thank Thee again for Thy truth. We thank Thee, Lord God, that everything that a child of God needs can be found in the Word of God. Lord God, we thank Thee for every commandment, for every promise, for every precept, for every example, for every rebuke, for every encouragement. We thank Thee that Thy Word is truth. It is forever settled in heaven. We thank Thee for the inspired Word of God, for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. We thank Thee, Lord God, for the completed revelation of Scripture. We thank Thee, Lord, now for the Holy Ghost. And we pray in Jesus' name that Thou wilt send Thy Spirit into this meeting. I confess, O God, my need. I pray for the cleansing, sanctifying power of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray for the anointing of Thy Spirit. I ask, O God, that Thou wilt help me to speak, help me to preach, as never sure to preach again, as a dying man to dying men and women. Lord, we pray that Thou wilt speak to every waiting heart. Glorify Thy Son. Exalt the man of Calvary. And lead us on. Lead us through with God. until at last we see Thee face to face. We pray that our lives will continually be on God's altar and will glorify Thee. So Lord, take full control now, we pray. Visit us with revival blessing, we ask in the Saviour's name. Amen. We've been thinking about this man of God by the name of Enoch. Just remarking that Enoch's life in reality was a life of simple faith. A life of following the Lord. The Bible doesn't tell us much about Enoch. But what it does tell us is worthy of our study. And is profitable for our own spiritual and Christian experience. We remarked the last two Lord's days that the name Enoch, it literally means initiated or experienced. And here is a man, and though little is said about him, he was well initiated into the school of Christ. He was well experienced in walking with his God. And we've just been thinking about simple lessons from the life of Enoch. First of all, Enoch had a personal walk with God. It tells us twice in the book of Genesis, Enoch walked with God. And the very reason that the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross to save us is that we might be brought into fellowship with Almighty God. That we might walk with God step by step, day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year. That every morning of every day, every waking hour, we might be conscious that we are in fellowship and in union and in step with our God. The challenge is, are you walking with God? We're not asking if you've ever been saved, if you've got a date in your Bible, if you've ever prayed the sinner's prayer, if you've ever called upon the Lord. Those things are important. But more important still is the question that we all have to answer. Are we walking with God? Are we in fellowship? Are we in communion? Are we in step with God? Enoch walked with God. He had a personal walk with God. Furthermore, Enoch pleased the Lord. Enoch had this testimony that he pleased God. And that's all God wants us to do. He doesn't look for intellect. He doesn't look for gift. He does not look for talent. He does not look for ability. He doesn't look for eloquence. I'm very glad about this. God has chosen the foolish things of this world. God chooses the weak instruments, the weak vessels, the things that maybe in the eyes of the world could even be described as being foolish, despised, base. But any Christian can have this testimony. That they please the Lord. And that's the best testimony that any child of God can have. You or I might never accomplish great things for God. We mightn't see thousands of souls brought to Christ. We might never live to see a nation turned right around for God. We might never even live to see revival. Under God in the eyes of the world, we mightn't accomplish very much. But we can all have this testimony that we please the Lord. We just do the things that God wants us to do. And we just walk with the Lord. Enoch had a personal walk with God. Enoch pleased the Lord. Enoch's life speaks of perfection in the Lord. And we went into this in a little bit of detail last Lord's Day. How the Bible reminds us that Enoch was the seventh from Adam. Seven in Scripture is the number of perfection. And as we think about our standing, our relationship to the second Adam. How that he is, in a sense, our elder brother, and we proceed from him, and we are found before the Lord in faith and in a standing before Almighty God, all because of the second Adam. Seven speaks of perfection. And if we're saved and we're united to Jesus Christ by faith alone, we have a perfect standing before the God of heaven. We are clothed in his righteousness, and it's not because of anything that we are in and of ourselves or anything that we have done. We have a perfect standing before Christ because of who he is and of what he has done. Then we thought about the little phrase that Enoch prophesied of these. Enoch was a man who prophesied for the Lord. He spoke for his God. He was a preacher. Enoch was a man who took a stand, and Enoch witnessed for the Lord. Now, there's just two other things that I want to consider today about God's servant Enoch. I want to consider now, fifthly, Enoch persevered for the Lord. Jude, verse number 15, makes mention of something of the days that Enoch lived on. Enoch lived during a very ungodly day. Jude, verse number 15, to execute judgment upon all. This was the message that Enoch preached. He was a preacher of righteousness, a preacher of judgment. And to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. So Enoch lived in a day where all around about him, society, his generation, was marked by this word, ungodly. Four times we read the word ungodly. And it just describes Enoch's day, the day in which Enoch lived. Enoch lived in a very ungodly day, but Enoch still walked with God. Now, if you were to go back to the book of Genesis and read from Genesis 5, from verse 21 through to verse number 29, you'll read there about the generations that preceded after Enoch. Enoch begat a son, his name was Methuselah, who was the oldest man that ever lived upon the face of God's earth. Then Methuselah had a son, and his name was Lamech. And then after Lamech, there was another son born to Lamech by the name of Noah. Noah was the man who built the ark. And if you do the mathematics and you do the instructions, you will understand and you will come to learn that Enoch was translated, Enoch was taken up into heaven 69 years before Noah walked on the face of the earth. And you'll remember that in Genesis chapter 6, God looked upon the world and God saw that the world was just a cesspit of sin and a cesspit of iniquity. And there was only one man, along with his wife and family, that walked with God in that generation, and that was Noah. Noah was the only one that was righteous before the Lord, perfect before the Lord. And the same testimony is given to Noah, as was given to Enoch, in Genesis chapter number 6 and verse number 9. Noah walked with God. And it's interesting, whenever you were turning to the New Testament, to Matthew chapter 24, the second Sermon on the Mount, the Olivet Discourse, whenever the Lord Jesus Christ sat down with his disciples and they asked him the question, what will the world be like in the last days? What will be the sign of your coming? How will we know whenever the Lord Jesus Christ is returning and it's the end of the world? The Lord began to speak about society in the last days, and he indicated that society, generally speaking, would be marked by ungodliness. He said, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Iniquity shall abound. Society will be marked by godlessness. And even many that were brought up under the sound of God's word, their love for the Lord for many will wax cold. And there'll be backsliding in the last days. And as the Lord gives all of the different signs, false teachers, false doctrines, false cults, famines, wars, earthquakes in divers places, false Christs, iniquity abounding, nation rising against nation. And if you were to read, whenever you go home, Matthew 24, it's literally like reading some of it tomorrow's newspaper. And the Lord brings it all to a conclusion, and he says in Matthew chapter 24 and verse number 37, that the last days will be just like the days of Noah. Matthew 24 and verse number 37. The Lord says, but as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Noah lived in perhaps the most ungodly days prior to the New Testament. The most ungodly time since the fall in the Garden of Eden. And just 69 years before those days, we find the life of Enoch those 365 years. And everything from Enoch, I believe, began to walk with God, were just waxing worse and worse and worse and worse. Enoch, as far as we can discern, never lived through a time of revival. He never lived through a time of spiritual awakening. Generation after generation, leading up to the days of Noah, was just marked by ungodliness. And the last days before the Lord Jesus Christ comes will also be marked by ungodliness. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 1. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. And then all the signs are given once again by Paul writing to Timothy. Men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers. In other words, they'll just break their promises. Can't trust them. False accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures, more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. This is what Paul says the world will be like in the last days leading up to the Lord's great return. Peter said something similar in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 3. He says, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they are willingly ignorant of, that the word of God, by the word of God, the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. And so Peter as well, not only speaks of creation, but he speaks of the days of Noah. And friends, we are living, I believe, in the days that not only Enoch prophesied of, not only the Lord Jesus Christ told us of, but also Paul and also Peter, where people have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. And men in high places are truce breakers, boasters, pride, haters of God, and haters of those that are good. They are willingly ignorant of the truth that by God's word, the world was created, the world was framed, and God created all things by the word of his power. It's interesting whenever you look at men now in Parliament and high society. Whether it's Nick Clegg or Ed Miliband, they make this boast that they no longer believe in God. And atheism seems to be a sign of intellect and a sign of inclusiveness where you just say, well, we can solve our own problems. We don't need God. That was the kind of day that Enoch lived in, but Enoch still persevered for God. Our society is going through great change, I believe. Somebody actually said to me just during the week, they said, I suppose that even from you were a boy running about, you can notice a lot of changes. And I had to say, well, yes, I can. And I am still, I received a compliment during the week as well. Somebody says, you're very young to be a pastor. And I kind of took a little bit of comfort in that I'm maybe not just as old as I feel sometimes. But certainly whenever I think over the last 20 years, from I started high school right up until this present time, I can see a lot of changes. I can see churches that once were flourishing are now empty in just less than a generation. I can remember whenever I was a boy that all the shops would have been closed apart from maybe the occasional newsagents or filling station. Now on Sunday, virtually all of the shops are open. I can remember times whenever you would have hardly heard cursing on television. Certainly not before 9 o'clock. Now it's just filth from morning to evening. Even morning television is just marked by filth. And you know, you don't have to have me to come along and tell you what they're talking about. I was in visiting a woman in hospital recently, and there was a television on at about 11 o'clock in the morning, and it was so embarrassing what was being talked about. Just filth. Divorce. Somebody said that now, almost statistically, more than half of marriages end in divorce. In fact, pundits are saying that it'll not be long before, statistically, one out of one marriages end in divorce and end in failure. Homosexuality, paedophilia, abortion. Words that 20 years ago you would have hardly even known what they meant. And now with the rise of the internet, you don't have to go to the seedy part of town to be a pervert. You can be a pervert in your own home. Secularism. The suicide. And it seems now that if you go to church every week, people think you're just on fire for God. If you go to church twice every Sunday, boy, you're a fanatic. And if you go to the prayer meeting during the week as well, Matt, you probably belong to some sort of a cult. Society is marked with ungodliness, but Enoch walked with God during an ungodly day. Don't we hear so many people saying, you know, it's so hard to walk for God in these days? And maybe it is. But friends, it's still possible. Enoch walked with God. In the midst of ungodliness all round about him, here is a man that persevered for the Lord. There used to be an old doctrine that preachers would have talked about. You don't hear it mentioned much nowadays, but they call it the perseverance of the saints. The final perseverance of the saints. And they didn't just merely mean by that they believed in eternal security. They did. They didn't merely believe in that once saved, always saved. Yes, they did believe that. But they did teach and they did believe, and the Bible, I believe, teaches it clearly and implicitly, that those that genuinely have been born again of God's Spirit, though they may fall into grievous sins at times, though they may grow cold at heart, they may get out of fellowship with the Lord from time to time, that ultimately and eternally, those that are truly converted, truly born again, truly know the Lord, they will ultimately persevere in the faith and ultimately go to be with Christ, which is far better. You see, the Lord said, didn't he, in John chapter 10, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Now that teaches eternal security. That teaches that once you're saved, you can never be lost. Because the Lord says, I give unto them eternal life. And eternal life begins the moment you trust the Lord Jesus Christ, and it is eternal life, everlasting life. It doesn't last for a year, or 2 years, or 5 years. It is spiritual life that lasts right throughout this life and on into eternity. Once saved, always saved, and there's security there because the Lord says, no man can pluck them out of my hand. But you know something else? There's perseverance because the Lord says, they hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. And so you can't really say with assurance, can you, that you're saved for time and eternity if you're not walking with the Lord, if you're not following the Lord. Some people that are saved lack assurance because they get out of fellowship with the Lord and they're not just like Enoch and they're not really in fellowship with the Lord, and so they wonder, am I really saved? But friend, just you do the things that God wants you to do. Just walk with the Lord. God leads his people on. Ezekiel chapter 36, verses number 26 and 27, the Lord says, I give to my people a new heart. Says, I take away the stony heart and I give them a heart of flesh, and I will cause them to walk in my statutes, and I will cause them to keep my commandments, and I ultimately, God says, I will lead them on. Perseverance. Now you say, well, that's fair enough. You're saying that if we're saved, that the Lord leads us on, the Lord keeps us, the Lord preserves us, the Lord will ultimately give us grace. Does that mean that, preacher, we just sit back and we live in a little bubble and we don't really have to do anything? Well, if you've been listening to this study in the life of Enoch, you'll notice that all the things that Enoch did, they all dovetail together so beautifully. First of all, Enoch walked with God. And as Enoch walked with God, he knew that his life pleased the Lord. Because he wasn't rushing ahead of the Lord. He wasn't straying from the Lord. He wasn't lagging behind. He just walked with God step by step. And so Enoch's life pleased the Lord. And Enoch could always look to his salvation. We're not told when it started, but ultimately there was a day when Enoch started to walk with God. He was a man that was converted. And he knew that his salvation was of the Lord. Enoch the seventh from Adam. And he knew that if he was ever ultimately to see heaven, it would just be that God's grace had led him there. Did not John Newton write, and it's scriptural, "'Tis grace has led me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home." And ultimately it was that grace that saved a wretch like me. And so here's a man that recognizes that anything that he is before God is all because of God's grace. And friend, today, if you can grasp that truth, that you're saved by grace, you're kept by grace, you're sanctified by grace, and ultimately it's grace that will lead you into heaven, and salvation is of the Lord, that will help you as a Christian. I believe it helped Enoch. And so he knew that he was saved by grace. He walked with the Lord. He pleased the Lord. And then he prophesied of the Lord, and he told others about the Lord, and he never lost that desire, you see, to witness. He was always in the place where he was in fellowship with the Lord. He heard God's voice. He listened to what God had to say. And friend, if you just talk to the Lord like Enoch did, and you listen to God's voice, and just listen to what the Lord's telling you through his word, and you prophesy of the Lord, you tell others about the Lord, and you serve the Lord, friend, the Lord will just lead you on. I believe that. These are the means of grace that Enoch employed. Prayer, hearing God's voice, the study of the word, and all these things helped Enoch to persevere. Enoch persevered for the Lord. But lastly, and it's an interesting thought, Enoch was preserved from death by the Lord. Enoch had a personal walk with God. Enoch pleased the Lord. Enoch speaks of perfection in the Lord. Enoch prophesied for the Lord. Enoch persevered with the Lord. And Enoch was preserved from death by the Lord. Now, if you read back there in Genesis chapter number 5, it says that Adam lived 130 years, and begat a son. And then verse number 5, it tells us that Adam died. And then it says in verse number 6, 6 lived 105 years and begat Enos. And then in verse number 8, it tells us, and he died. Verse number 9 begins talking about Enos, and then at the end of verse 11 it says, and he died. And then verse number 12, Canaan lived 70 years, begat Mahalalel, and then verse number 14, and he died. Verse 15, Mahalalel lived 65 years, begat Jared, and then verse 17, and he died. Then verse 18, Jared lived 162 years and begat Enoch, and then verse 20, and he died. And so here's just the normal scheme of things. One man lives, he has a family, that man dies. His offspring, they grow up, they live, they have a family, and they die. And right throughout the chapter, and he died, and he died, and he died. And friend, unless the Lord comes first, you're going to die, and I'm going to die. It's the natural progression of events. We're all going to die. And as it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. Friends, someday you're going to die unless the Lord comes first. And I wonder, are you ready? I wonder, are you ready? I remember hearing about a barber once in his haste. He was a Christian and he was wanting to witness to people. It was the days of the old cutthroat razors, and he lathered this man up and he set him in the chair and he took out the razor, and he was kind of nervous because he wanted to witness to this man. He just recently got converted, and with the razor shaking in his hand, he said to this poor culprit in the chair, are you ready to die, sir? And just began to try and shave him. But friend, I wonder, are you ready to die? Are you ready to meet the Lord? You see, all these men lived, and they all had their window of opportunity, and one by one, they all just went out into eternity. They all died. Apart from Enoch, and another man by the name of Elijah, the only two men in Scripture that never died. Enoch and Elijah. Now the Bible says that Enoch walked with God, verse 24, and he was not, for God took him. And as it tells us there in the verses that we read in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verse 5, by faith Enoch was translated. Now this word translated is a Greek word, metatithemai. And it's made up from two different words. It's a compound word. The first word is the word meta. Now, the word meta is a Greek word and then translated into the Latin and then into the English. We have many words today that begin with the word meta. For example, metamorphosis. Whenever something changes form, like a butterfly from a caterpillar, and then it goes into its little chrysalis or cocoon, and then it comes out a butterfly, it changes, metamorphosis. And then there's metabolism. Whenever we eat food and the body converts that into energy, metabolize. And then there's a metaphor. Whenever we use one word in the place of another, and the word meta is a prefix that literally means to change or to alter. And then the second part of the word, metatithemai. Tithemai means to set in place beside. To set in place. And so this word, metatithemai, it literally means to change sides from one side to another. Or as it's translated in our English Bible, to translate. Enoch was translated. Just like whenever you're at school and you're trying to learn French, and you get your copybook out and you take a sentence from English and you translate that across into French, or vice versa. Now, I was never good at that. I got a D in my French. I failed it. And then I went to Bible college and we had to do Greek and Hebrew. And I struggled through that as well, trying to change from one language into another, the word translate. And it just illustrates what happened with Enoch. Enoch was walking with the Lord on this earth. And then suddenly, supernaturally, he was translated into another world. He just changed sides. He went from this world just right out into the next. Now, we can't understand that. It's like one little boy learned at Sunday school, and he told his mother that one day Enoch was walking with God, and he just walked so far that the Lord said, "Enoch, you've walked far enough, you just come home with me." And Enoch was just walking with the Lord in this world, and then all of a sudden he found himself in the next world. He was translated. Like Elijah, he was just suddenly taken up into heaven itself. And it tells us, interestingly enough, in Hebrews 11:5, by faith Enoch was translated. Now, we've often mentioned the essence of faith, that faith, as it says in Hebrews 11:1, is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith isn't a leap in the dark or a step into the unknown. It is a step into the light. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And if you read down through Hebrews 11, so many of the people that acted by faith literally heard God's voice. For example, Abram. He went out and by faith he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Now, how did he know to do that? It was because God called him in Genesis chapter 12 and verse 1. Get thee up out of thy father's house and out of thy father's kindred into a land that I will show thee. And so Abraham acted in faith according to what he had heard. Faith is just believing what God says he will do. Romans 10:17. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so I believe that Enoch knew that he was going to be translated. He knew something of how his life would end. Enoch knew that one day the Lord would just translate him and call him home. Now, none of us know what tomorrow holds. But friends, if we're saved, we do know what eternity holds. There is a very real sense in which every single one of us here someday is going to be translated. We're going to be taken out of this world and we're going to be translated over to the other side. Many today in this meeting will be in heaven. But some today in this meeting will be in God's hell. We will all be translated from this world into the next. Perhaps your translation will be like Enoch's. And you'll not see death. There's a day coming, folks, whenever the Lord's going to return. And the Bible says concerning that day in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 16, that the dead in Christ shall rise first. And then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. And that's the rapture. Now, I don't think we should be scared of the word rapture. Sometimes we are, because we think that this is some kind of secret thing that nobody's going to know anything about. I know that good people believe that. But I believe that the Lord, as it says in Scripture, shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the trump of God, with the voice of the archangel. Nothing secret, nothing silent. And we're going to be caught up. Rapture, that's what the word rapture means. It means to be caught up. And that's what happened with old Enoch. And then for others, we're going to be translated from this world into the next at death. As Paul says, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Paul didn't get the tent pegs down too deep. He knew that whenever he would die, it would be absent from the body and present with the Lord. Enoch was preserved from death by the Lord. And the reality is that every Christian will ultimately be preserved from death. We will never really die. There will come a time whenever this body will wax old and it will be put into the ground, but we'll still be alive. The soul will just leave the body. And then one day the Lord will raise up that body again, and it will be body and soul together in the new heavens and in the new earth for all eternity. And therefore we can say as God's children that death has lost its sting and the grave has lost its victory. We mightn't look forward to the flitting. Nobody likes to move house. But friends, if we're in Christ, we've got eternal life. And I trust that we'll be like Enoch. We'll just walk with God. And we'll please the Lord. And we'll know that we're complete in the Lord. And that we'll prophesy and preach for the Lord and tell others about the Lord. And we'll persevere for the Lord, even if it's an ungodly day. And ultimately we know that the Lord will preserve us right into His kingdom. And one day we'll be with Him, which is far better. May God bless you all, and we do thank you for listening. Let's just seek the Lord together by way of prayer. Let's pray. Our God and our Father, we draw nigh again into Thy presence. We thank Thee for Thy word, and we thank Thee for men like Enoch and Noah who walked with God. Pray, Lord, that Thou wilt help us all here today to do the same, even in an ungodly day. Help us to persevere. Pray, Lord, that Thou wilt give us grace and strength. And Lord, we thank Thee for that day that's coming whenever we'll be with Christ, which is far better. Thank Thee, Lord, that this troubled world is not our final home. We thank Thee, Lord, that one day You'll come and You'll call us unto Thyself. And Lord, we believe this by faith. And we pray, Lord, today for some here that have never tasted and seen that the Lord is good. We pray that Thou wilt give faith to embrace Jesus Christ, that they too might walk with the Lord and please Thee. Hear and answer prayer. We pray that You'll continue with us in the Saviour's name throughout the rest of this day. For Christ's sake we pray.